Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. We'll make our U.S. Open picks. Like to hear what you guys think. Here's how this works. Go in order. Like, who do you think's going to win? Who's the next guy you think was going to win? And then the third guy. Like the order matters. Because say we both have the same guy, but I have him first and you have him second, I win. Because I had more faith. It's like win, place, and show in a horse race. So 1, 2, and 3, and then also you'll get a dark horse pick, anybody outside the top 25 in the official world golf rankings. So we'll make the picks at the end of the show. We'll talk U.S. Open in the middle. Man, there's all kinds of storylines out there. The history of Brookline as a U.S. Open venue is pretty awesome. It probably be a pretty decent conversation in a little bit. What is Brookline known for most? Is it 1913 and Francis We Met, or is it 1999 and the Ryder Cup? The history of some older courses at the U.S. Open. This, you know, you're going to see the yardage, and it's going to be different than those big, giant Erin Hills, Chambers Bay type places. But older courses have held up, and hopefully this one does too, because it's going to be a little bit different brand of golf than what you're used to seeing, which to me is refreshing. The LIV guys, they're getting it from the media. The media is giving it to them, but the fans aren't.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
The fans aren't, and the Libby writers are big mad about it, to the point where some of them are actually starting to lecture fans on who to be a fan of. Question for you as well, Jerry. The allure of, like, knowing the holes, such as Augusta, every year they play the same course for the Masters, so you know what's coming. Or, in the case of Brookline, we hadn't really been in the national consciousness since 2013, and that's if you watch the USAM, which a lot of people won't. So you got to date all the way back to 1999 for the Ryder Cup, and it's hard to remember what the course is if you think all the way back to then. So or you like it better, kind of something new. You know, Southern Hills is a little bit that way in the PGA, even though it had hosted. It had been 15 years, and so it was almost like a new place. And then I also want you to give me your dream last four pairings on Sunday. Like if you...
It might mirror my picks.
If you could have a magic wand and say, okay, this guy plays with this guy, then this guy plays with this guy, then these two, then the final group is this, who would those people be?
So basically... Top eight.
But who plays with who? So it's starting from the third from final group all the way up to the final.
That's
group.
A lot of work.
Yeah, I put it in this morning, Jared. Even had time to make a bunch of copies. I mean, I've been here a while. we had an interesting text yesterday that I totally missed. I don't know if I just internet was wonky, but. It was when we were talking about the baseball and the softball games and all that. An interesting text that we'll discuss. Also, did you see the Clay Thompson?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. And of course, the major news during the show yesterday, the Devon Tower Spider-Man, which we've now found out a little bit more about. 225-9698.
And it's kind of what we expected.
Yeah, except opposite, be honest with you. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the free Paragon Communications app. That app has it all. Three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. check out this week's deals in the Penny News. And then, of course, the print copy, or the print edition of the Penny News will start hitting newsstands this afternoon into tomorrow afternoon. Big Oak TV, Paragon TV are also in the apps during high school sports season. Stream those football, basketball, whatever else games live there. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. Miss the show entirely, you can go back and check it out on demand at kadsam.com, or you can do that on iTunes. Jared, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you?
Man, a little tired. I haven't been sleeping great. Feels like I've been getting up multiple times throughout the night, waking up, getting up.
Why is that?
I don't know. Probably because I'm getting older. Had to pee multiple times at night.
Oh, well.
That's not a good sign.
Let's be blunt about it, but well, okay.
I prefer just kind of waking up, rolling over, and going back to sleep. But sometimes you actually got to get out of bed. Or it's been so hot and dry, it feels like I'm drinking like 60 ounces of water throughout the sleep time.
Yeah, yeah. Do you keep a glass of water on your nightstand?
I keep a giant Bucky's. It's like a 40-ounce.
You and my wife.
Yeti thing.
I don't do that.
You don't?
No, I don't do that. My wife always has water right there on her side.
So you just use hers?
No, because I'd have to crawl over there and she'd punch me. No, I don't have water. And I might, I don't know, but I do the same thing. I roll around a lot.
So what do you do if you need a drink? You have to get up?
Well, I don't get thirsty. Sometimes I do, and I'll get up, and I'll go straight to the fridge, grab the gallon of milk, and start chugging.
Ah, you do that too?
My wife hates it, but I mean, I love milk. I love milk.
I do too.
I love milk.
Do you get to, are you still in the whole milk stage of life?
Yes.
You are fortunate.
Yes.
Lucky guy.
And if I'm very fortunate, it's from Bronx.
Yeah, well, you know.
That is the best.
That's just the truth.
Yeah. No, but
there's nothing better than an ice cold slug of milk out of the jug.
Oh man, just you know, if it's my favorite thing. Sometimes when I'm thirsty and I wake up and I look, it's like 2 a.m. Like, yep, it's milk time, and I was
sucking it down, ice cold milk out of the jug.
Yep.
So you guys on to state. Officially on the state?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, we made top four. That's what the qualifier was with our softball girls. They got a couple wins last night by the skin of our teeth. My goodness, you talk about wanting to lose your lunch. Won the first game by a run, had to do it in walk-off fashion. Won the second game by a run, had to do it by holding off a valiant effort from the Cheyenne Spikes, who came back, and we were up 11-1, and they came all the way back. We held on the win 11-10.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a fun one. It was a fun game. Both games were. Kudos to Navajo. Same situation. We had got a big lead. They came back. They actually took a lead. We were the home team. We needed one run. No, two runs. And we got it, and the rest is history. So, fun games. It was seeded the way the top three were very, very good. Are very, very good. Top. So, and Eric's still alive too. So, Canute waiting for teams from the losers bracket to advance to the championship game on Thursday. But yeah, top four advance to state, and that's what's left is the top four. So kudos all girls, both teams. Great fans, great coaches. It was fun. A lot of fun. How about you? How did your night go?
It was a win, 4-1. So they're in the finals, awaiting the winner of Navajo, who we played last night.
Yeah.
And then Merritt. As Merritt won two games, they beat Mangum, and they also beat Canute to move into today. So just three teams left. Different, I think maybe two make it to regionals. So I think
I'm not sure how it works on the baseball side.
Not either. I was thinking you had to win, but last night the thought was, okay, now we're in regionals.
Yeah.
After the win last night. But no, good pitching. A little bit of timely hitting, a little bit of help, if we're being honest, from Navajo defensively. A couple plays that I'm sure they think they should have made and probably should have. That would have kept that a little bit closer game. But that's the one thing about Wyatt's team. You can't necessarily trust the hitting is going to be there. But you can always trust pitching and defense is going to be there.
Awesome.
Little second baseman, Maddox Thompson. He made two plays where he dove from second base toward the first baseman on ground balls and threw the guy out. And then the last out of the game, he made a catch kind of back with his hand over his shoulder. Not over the shoulder, but back behind him running to a pop-up in right center field. And he caught it, but you could see the ball like in the – not in the webbing of his glove, but in the hand of it, you know, the edge.
Yeah.
And you could see the ball as he was squeezing his glove, and it was still there, and he went to his knees, and I thought, oh, no, if he puts his glove down to catch himself, it's going to pop out.
Right.
And instead he put his bare hand down and just still had it up in the air showing the umpire, hey, I've got it. Don't worry about it.
So
that was great. The web gems were coming from him fast and furious. But that was a good game. Two pretty good teams. So we'll see what happens tonight. All right, how about the how about the Devin Tower guy?
This guy.
So yesterday, if you weren't listening to the show, it was such a strange sensation because I was sitting here talking, can't remember what we were talking about. But I'm looking at Jared, and he's like looking down at his phone, not paying attention to me whatsoever.
Because my wife texts me.
And his eyes are just getting bigger and bigger as he's looking, and he has to stop me in mid-sentence and tell us about the guy who was climbing the Devin Tower. And he looked like a pretty young guy.
He's a college kid.
Is it? Let's say I heard his name,
UNLV.
And I can't remember what it was. Yeah, in Vegas. He was a Vegas guy. And, of course, as we predicted, he was doing this for some sort of political cause.
Right.
Now, the reason why I said the opposite is because, you know, one of the biggest political causes, or at least a firestorm that's about to get lit within the next week or so, is going to be the Supreme Court's ruling on the Dobbs case, which has supposedly been leaked already, and that's causing consternation amongst some folks.
Sure.
And if you're not familiar with the Dobbs case, it is essentially it's abortion, and who knows what the ruling really is, but it's suspected that it's not going to go the way that the left-leaning folks in this country like it.
Want it.
And so, as we've seen since the summer of 2020, when they don't get their way, they burn stuff down, kill people.
But we won't have any hearings publicly, anyways.
Probably no arrests, and if they are arrests, they'll just be let go. Right. Anyhow, so I assumed, you know, with that going on, this guy was going to be, you know, when you hear, oh, he is protesting abortion, you're thinking, of course, he's. Yeah, it turns out his nickname was the pro-life Superman or Spider-Man. That's what he called himself. That was shocking to me.
Okay.
That the protest or whatever you want to call it was that way and not the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't see that very often.
Yeah.
But he's climbed up the Devin Tower. Any chance you'd climb up the Devin Tower for some cause?
No. I can't get on a ladder without shaking.
Okay.
I mean, we have a light fixture in our living room. We have pretty high ceilings. And when I need to change the light bulbs in that said light fixture, I have to get this really tall A ladder to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have to get to the very top, even almost to the part where it says on the ladder, this is not a step.
Yeah.
I have to kind of put my knee on there. And my wife's like, you're a wuss. It's not that far of a drop if you fall.
Then get up there and do it.
Then you do it.
Yeah, it's a simple deal with me.
There's no way I would climb something for, no.
For a cause. No. Is there an amount of money?
Okay, now money talks, so.
Is there an amount of money that you would climb the Devin Tower?
No. No, this dude looked like a professional. Looked like
he'd done it before.
He'd done it before. I guess he climbed a building in San Francisco,
Detroit, New York.
Yeah,
there's been multiple locations.
So he's a pro, but no, there's
problem with the money thing is it doesn't matter what the total is. I will not get to enjoy it because I will fall. Well, hopefully, I'd fall off quick and not die.
I wonder if there was, like, this is an interesting, like, game show discussion. Like, okay, if you get past the third floor, yeah, you get this much money. You yeah get past the fifth floor, you get this much money. Kind of like an incentive for each floor.
I'll just take whatever it costs to look up.
Is it like
a hunter just to stand at the base and look up?
You ever been in that building?
No.
Never been in there?
Have not.
Do yourself a favor. Make some time and go in.
I don't want to. It's nothing but glass.
You don't like
high
buildings
and
looking out of high buildings?
No.
You don't?
No.
They have the Vast restaurant up there.
I know they have the restaurant up there.
Not for you.
Especially maybe in the middle of the room.
But you don't want to look outside?
No. Like have the table right next to the windows?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No, I have no problem with that. that's funny, by the way.
It's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop.
But that building is intimidating when you walk up to it. And then I remember, been there a couple times, and I kind of look up before I go in, man, that is big. That is tall. So, climbing it, forget about it. No chance.
Yeah, I'm out. I am out. I don't even want to see a video of him climbing it. Like, if he had, a GoPro on. I don't want to see that either.
Have you seen those videos of people doing stuff like that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I know they're out there.
Yeah, that is anxiety-inducing to watch that.
There's big money in changing the lights on top of TV towers. I bet there is.
And radio towers.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why we got a guy named Norm.
Would you be a window washer?
No. not unless my feet were on the ground. I'm out. I do not want to do that. It's not it.
You'd watch the first story.
Did you see that? I guess when I was driving over, there was a text to the morning guys, and it was apparently an engineer of the building that was a Devon employee or what have you. And he said those wings that he was kind of grabbing hold of were not made to sustain any weight. So he's like, I don't even know how he didn't fall off. He must have just barely been lightly. He wasn't using them to go up and down is the point. He was grabbing a hold of something different in order to propel himself up the wall.
Wow.
Yeah, like the dude, what was
he? He didn't look like a real big guy. He looked like a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But
still. I mean, imagine if you're sitting there like the 50th floor working away. And you're kind of paying it. And he went past you. You're like, was that a person? What just happened? Am I hallucinating? Do I need to go to the psych ward? Did I just see somebody? What? Huh? And I guess it'd make you feel better if you turn on the news and realize, yeah, I did see something.
Yeah.
It went right by me.
Yeah. You can see him off the film you've seen, the video of him. He kind of, a couple times he's looking in the windows.
Yeah, there's memes
there's
out there already.
There's pictures out there like he's trying to get a hold of you for your
warranty
on your car. But, yeah, I've seen the video. And that's what's the crazy thing. You know, once they got the helicopter up or drone or whatever they were using to film this guy, and they'd be tight shot on the guy, but then when they would back out again to show the enormity of that building and how small he was on the side of it,
yeah.
Oh man, that is nuts. And he just has to just pay a little fine, trespassing, and what was the other complaint?
Yeah, I can't remember disturbing the peace, maybe.
Not
remember.
Sure.
I can't remember. Yeah, that was wild right here in Oklahoma. You see this stuff somewhere elsewhere, but it's kind of cool to have a building tall enough that somebody want to scale it and make national news.
Well, one time, wasn't it when that thing was under construction, somebody snuck in there at night, got to the very top, and did a base jump?
Yeah.
Yep.
Another idiotic idea. Did you see the Klay Thompson imposter?
I've seen this, yes.
So some dude that kind of looked like Klay Thompson, kind of not.
I would lean more on the side of not
when you
get closer to
he
him.
He looked like,
retired Klay Thompson.
Yeah. 50 pounds overweight Klay Thompson is what he looked like. So he And it's not like he did this in Boston where they don't know him, right?
Right.
He did this
at home.
At San Francisco and goes right through security. He even has people telling him, like, hey, why don't you get us a win tonight? And stuff like that. And makes his way all the way into the arena, takes a couple of shots, knocks down a couple of threes. Because when the video went to him shooting, I'm like, oh, wait, this is going to totally give him away. This isn't going to work. And then he just knocks down a couple threes and then airballs a layup. And, yeah. And even his buddy goes, dude, you just airballed a layup. And then here comes some other security and he gets escorted out. I mean, how does that happen?
Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, I'm serious. How does that happen?
I don't know. Where did he come from as far as the players?
He went through where they go.
So security's like, oh, yeah, it's Clay. Go ahead.
Pretty much.
Wow.
And sitting there with the idea, I mean, they were like, get us a W today, Clay. I mean, they thought it was him. Or they just took it for granted, I guess.
Wild. And so now he is banned for life?
Now he's banned for life.
Oh, come on. I think there are worse things you can do to get banned for life. All this guy did was just impersonate a player.
Go get a couple shots up.
Yeah, that's all he did. And you're banning him for life? Just say, hey, don't do it again.
What would, if you were able to sneak in to the arena of an NBA, say the Thunder ever make it again, and you sneak in there, what would be your goal? Would you want to get out on the floor and take a couple of shots? I mean, what would you want to do? I mean, because he walked right by their locker room. He even made the comment, I could go in the locker room. Instead, he went on out. And, of course, what the great part is, they had like the...
Well, first off, I'm not looking like any kind of NBA player.
Well, that's so the next question.
Yeah, there's no way...
I'm not there yet. It doesn't have to be an NBA game for the next question.
Okay.
But, I mean, surely you want to get out on the floor and take a couple jumpers, don't you?
I guess, yeah.
Maybe get somebody to put Rumble's trampoline up close to the rim and you can jump up and dunk it.
I would hurt myself.
Maybe that.
I would definitely hurt myself. I think I would go over to Radio Row.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
If I'm impersonating anybody.
Put on Mike Breen's headset. Bang! So the question is, it doesn't obviously... No offense to either one of us, but we're not passing for an NBA player. So who do you think some kind of famous person, is there somebody you think you could pass for and then sneak into whatever they're doing?
I've always been told...
Don't say Brad Pitt. Nobody's buying it.
Not. I've always been told if you put a side-by-side with my face and Nick Foles' face... That there is a striking resemblance.
There's
now,
one.
Obviously, physically, I couldn't pass for a Nick Foles, but
he's too tall.
But it's, but.
And he has a mop of hair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I had a hat on. And he had a hat on.
Yeah, but you'd have to have like some. You'd need a wig to have just like flowing hair out the back of your hat or whatever when he's got long hair.
I've always been told I look like him sometimes. That I could pass for him.
Nick Foles.
Maybe I can get a free Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he'd have to go to the cheesesteak spot that has the Nick. I'll have mine.
Yeah. Hey, I get the Philly special.
Hey, could I get my sandwich?
Yeah. Get some selfies with fans.
I mean, he took pictures with the Clay guy took pictures with
people. I saw that. I just found the video.
Unbelievable.
On Twitter. Yeah.
I'm hoping that I think by the time he was taking pictures, I don't know if those folks realized he got caught or not. So I don't know if they were taking a picture with the imposter or if they thought they were taking a picture with Clay.
Well, either way, they could say, yeah, I got a picture with the imposter. Check this out. I got the picture here. kudos to that guy. That's pretty brave of him.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Do you think somebody came up to him and said, hey, you kind of look like Klay Thompson?
You know, I got a crazy idea. Why don't you break in?
Yeah. He got past security.
Do you think he got more? You think it looked like they were just letting him walk away on the video.
On the video, it did. Yeah.
So, of course, it is San Francisco. You know, whatever goes there. But do you think the charges that he would have faced are higher or lower than the dude that climbed the Denver Tower?
Probably equal to. He got trespassing, right? What? He did. I mean,
probably should have, maybe.
Do you think somebody should be fired over this?
Yes. So the whole
security
team.
So why is it
really
his fault, you know? He didn't go in there and harm anybody. He wasn't harming, just like the Denver Tower guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was both harmless fun. But here's the thing. I don't think
the punishment's there as far as the
I'm sure it's available. They just may not be getting it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the Devon Tower doesn't have a whole bunch of dudes standing around it trying to keep people from climbing it.
That's true.
Chase Center.
That was a question.
Has multiple people.
Yeah. That was a question of mine. Well, by the way, this is a brand new building, Chase Center.
It's the first year they've had it.
Yeah. You can't have better security than that.
Do you think one of those. Do you think that we don't know the whole story yet? Meaning, one of those folks was in on it.
Ah, now there you go. Yeah, there's a history here, surely. This guy friends with him? Did he used to be an employee for the security team? I don't know. That's a good question.
You would think that there'd have to be some sort of that in there.
Yeah.
All right, so yesterday we had an interesting text, and this is something that you hear this conversation about this time of year, every single year, or some version of it, let's say. And we were discussing, you know, Sunday and it being so hot. And by the way, even though it was a weeknight and I know people had to work, boy, wasn't it a lot more pleasant, probably your last game. The wind kind of died. It actually got downright nice out there.
Yeah, about 8:20.
About the end of the end of Wyatt's game, and we were watching the Crushers play. It got downright nice.
It did.
So we had a text yesterday, and of course we talked about how hot it was Saturday and all that. But this one says, "Let's talk about the $400 baseball bats for 9-year-olds. Saw it all weekend in Elk. It's getting a little out of hand. Let kids be kids like we were back in the day." It's an interesting. What do you call it? When you notice something.
Observation.
Observation. Yeah. That's exactly the word I was going for. Interesting observation. For one, here, I mean, I'm not making light of the text because I'm dead serious. How do you know how much the bats cost? I know how much one bat costs because it's the one I bought, and it's not anywhere near $400. But I guess the point is they all look the same to me except for one's one color and one's another. I guess I'm not paying as much attention to that part of it as some others.
It's almost like an arms race, you know. I mean, yeah, some can look at a bat and, you know, if you know what you've shopped for and you've done your homework and go, you know what, I looked at that bat, but man, I didn't want to give $400-$500 for that bat, so I went with the $250 bat, which I still think was too much. And, you know, I think the better question is it like a placebo thing? You know, like I know for a fact my kid, she's had her ups and downs this season in the batter's box, like most kids do at all levels. And we switched bats. She was using her bat that I purchased her. Switched bats to, I'm assuming, a more expensive bat when it was bought. And all of a sudden, she's hitting it pretty good. And I think it's a mental thing. It's like, okay, I'm swinging a more expensive bat than I'm going to hit the ball, and she got more confidence, started with up between her ears, and then the mechanics went into work. But I don't know. I mean, it's a debate we can go on and on about equipment and how much you're spending. Really, quite frankly, it's none of my business how much Susie's mom is paying for a bat. That's their prerogative, you know?
I'm a little bit jaded on this one just because of golf. And there is a difference in the equipment that you can buy from the major manufacturers versus what you can get right out here at the Giant store east of town. There's a difference in it. There really is. Now, I'm not telling you that there's that much difference in the baseballs. I don't have any idea. But I'm a little bit jaded to this conversation as far as equipment and cost and all that, because the game or sport that I'm most accustomed to playing, that does actually matter.
Sure it does.
It's not just, hey, I want to buy the most expensive driver because it costs the most. It actually is the best one. Right. And if you don't believe me, watch this week. The one that most people will be hitting, the best players in the world, is the one that costs the most. It's the truth.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I mean, like you said, I don't care what anybody pays for their. The point, I think, that where I saw that and thought, is what if that's what the kids want to do? I guess my question is, are we not letting the kids be kids when that's what they want to do?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I can't speak for anybody else's house. I can just speak for mine. But as soon as Wyatt saw, oh, hey, J-Mac's having a camp, I want to go. What are we going to be doing? Well, we'll hit, and then next week, oh, great, I want to go. Okay. Go. You know, you're sitting around at night. I want to sit on the couch and watch TV. Hey, let's go play catch. Or go throw me some balls, I want to hit. Okay. I'm not making anybody do that.
Yeah.
So, to me, I am letting my kid be my kid. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the same for everybody. And I think that's the deal, is everyone's kid isn't the same. And there's no doubt that that's the truth. Heck, brothers aren't the same. Brothers and sisters aren't the same. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the first lessons I learned when I had our second kid. I was trying to raise her like I did my first kid, and became quickly apparent. She is not the same. She's her own kid.
Mm-hmm. All kids are their own kids.
Yeah.
But I guess my gripe is, why is it just for this kind of, and it goes to anything we can talk about. Right now we're talking about playing baseball and softball in the summertime because that was the text that we got. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. It could be reading books. It could be whatever it is. But my main, I guess, gripe about any of this is, why is it always the parents of the kids that don't want to do it lecturing the parents of the kids that do? Or seemingly, you know, having...
Yeah.
You don't see kids that... Or parents of kids that play 80 games a year in summer baseball begging other people to do it. You know why? Because they understand that they probably don't want to. Because it's not that much fun, quite frankly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For a parent. Now, the kids love it. And does it lead to them not wanting to play later on? Probably so. But at this point in time... It's like, hey, what do you want? It almost feels like, to me, for half the people out there, it's, well, if you don't let them play, then they're going to be not doing what they want to do. I mean, I wanted to go fishing. Kid doesn't want to go fishing. He wants to play basketball or play baseball or go golfing, which the golfing is, that's okay. I need to get that more in the rotation, probably. But I thought that was an interesting text. Just for multiple reasons, and especially with what happened this weekend, with it being hot, and you know, I kind of giggled about it and thought, what about Saturday? Because it was hot Saturday, just like it was Sunday. And then last night it was like, hey, way to go. It's pretty nice out here. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nice out here about 8 o'clock as opposed to 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when it was so hot. But anyhow. That's kind of where I would be on that question or on that text that we got yesterday.
There's a limit. I get it. There's a limit where if your kid wants the coolest, newest, biggest, hottest bat, and you can't say, listen, I'm not spending that much.
Right.
You don't even know if you know, we could try it. Maybe we can find someone who has it and swing it a few times. But you know, you still got to be a parent and say, you know. But at the other end of it, I mean, listen, the way I – have approached this softball thing is that I have noticed my kid has taken it on and she loves it. She absolutely loves it, and so I want to support that. And I want to have – I don't want to say I want her to have the best of the best equipment, because that doesn't necessarily mean that that equates to success on the field or in the batter's box. But I want to have the best equipment suited for her. So if there's a bat that we discover that, okay, it's the ratio to the length and weight is perfect for her, she can get it around, she can swing it, she can hit with it, we're seeing more success with this bat, and oh, by the way, it happens to be in the $400 range, I, as a parent, am going to support her and do my best and find a way to get that bat.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say no on that. I don't care how much you want it. How about the 250 one? It's just as good. You'll swing it harder. I'm serious.
I know what you're saying. I'm just...
Now, glove, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Because...
I think gloves are more important than the bat.
Well, I think they last way longer. I mean, you could literally buy a glove while it's going into sixth grade. I can buy him a glove going into next summer, and he'll use it the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just... It's a totally different thing to me than the bats. Because there's always... There's always going to be... the next greatest technology, with especially when you're doing aluminum bats. But the glove is different. You know, it's still the same. Think about, you know, the A2000, the Holy Grail. It's still the thing. It's still the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
And people, you know, you look out there and I'm sure you still have the same glove. You still use the same glove right now that you used in high school?
No.
Did you lose your glove from high school?
Somewhere since after high school, and it went into storage, and it's
gone.
It's gone. I don't know where, you know, since my dad moved from the house I grew up in, you know, that you lose stuff when you move. And
did that irk you?
Not really. And I you know what really irked me was I had a huge box of baseball cards.
Oh yeah.
And cannot find them. Those were gone. And who knows what kind of treasures were in there. I mean, I started collecting those when I was probably about Wyatt's age, maybe younger.
Yeah.
And I had a box, and I just put them in the box, and every once in a while I'd get another pack of baseball cards, put them in a box. So anyways,
now this is a good point from the same guy that texts. You're saying 9-year-olds, $400 bats, adding pressure to get a hit every time, and I see a lot of parents that are mad. Now that I will agree.
I agree with that. But I would also.
I don't think how much the bat costs is why the parents are mad. I just think they're mad. You know what I'm saying?
I think the key here is you don't tell the kid how much the bat costs to add that pressure on them.
I don't think that matters for the ones that feel it, honestly.
So, hey, here's your new bat. Just, you know, it's the same theory we have when we play certain opponents. Like, we don't tell them who we're about to play because it's in their head that
right. This
is going to be a tough game. We better be ready. And they're tight. And then, you know, all things fall apart. So kind of the same idea. Like, you know, I can imagine driving a Ferrari. I mean, I'd be scared to death to drive a Ferrari knowing how much it cost.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe the kid's like, wait a minute, this cost Dad $400. I can't mess it up by hitting it.
Yeah, but you might want to tell them how much it costs so they're not throwing it in the dugout. And it's
well, that's true, too. Because I actually do hear our coach when they're kind of banging the bats off the fence. I go, hey, those cost way too much. Put them in the dang – hang them up in the bat rack, please.
Yes.
And then you hear them hanging, like hitting together like wind chimes. And you're like, is that the best thing either? How about just put them in your bag until it's your turn to hit? Oh, here's a sad story. I always wanted an A2000 growing up. Never got one. Now both my kids have one. I think I'd have to commandeer one of those.
That is a reflective of living through your kid, right?
I don't think that's the way it was intended.
No.
No, good stuff, though.
I mean, I get it.
At the end of the day, it's people are different. Kids are different.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, we want these. They're kids. They're kids playing ball, man. Let's.
$400 bat, $25 swing.
Yeah, that too.
I love it. It's an easy way to fire up the text line.
Yeah.
We're going to have record numbers.
Yeah.
U.S. Open starts tomorrow, Brookline, Massachusetts. I think it's the, is it the 122nd U.S. Open, I believe? I think I saw that on the logo. Earlier this week. Yeah, that's right. Because Tiger in 2000 was the 100th. So I had 22.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. At Brookline, the country club at Brookline. You know, it's interesting because people are like, wonder why they called it the country club.
Well, why do they?
Because it was the first one.
The
country club.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. It's had it's hosted the U.S. Open 3 times. Interestingly enough, all 3 have went to playoffs. 1988, Curtis Strange beat Nick Faldo in a playoff for the first of his back-to-back U.S. Opens. 1963, Julius Boros beat Arnold Palmer and some other dude. Can't remember what his name was. Cupid. And then probably the most famous one, and maybe one of the biggest upsets in the history of sports, in 1913, Francis Ouimet beat Harry Vardon and somebody Ray in a playoff, beat him by 5 shots. Harry Vardon, by the way, British, one of the best at, of that, that era, back kind of Bobby Jones slash pre-Bobby Jones time. He was such a good player that the Vardon Trophy is named after him on the PGA Tour for the best scoring scoring average of the year. So, you know, that's a, he's clearly a good player.
The Vardon Grip.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff for him.
Good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit like you needing to watch the original Top Gun before you watch the new one. Probably need to watch The Greatest Game Ever Played to get you. You watch that, and then you watch the 99 Ryder Cup replays. It'll get you ready for the U.S. Open at the Country Club, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's not a very long golf course compared to today's standards. Like under 7,000 yards for a par 70 golf course. For reference, Southern Hills was like 7,400 some odd yards at par 70. So this is 500 yards shorter than that. Interestingly enough, though, the older style courses like this in U.S. Opens in recent history, the ones that everybody was afraid would just get ripped apart because of the length or lack thereof, have actually been the ones that have stood up. Oakmont does every time because Oakmont's the hardest golf course in America. But think back to Marion. Marion had an over par score back in 2013, I believe. Oakmont every time. And then there was one other. I failed to write this down. I can't remember. I'll think of it. But anyhow, so I'm interested. Shinnecock.
Oh, okay.
Shinnecock always holds up. And it's an older style, not as long type golf course as the ones that a lot, that they play a lot. Olympic is another one like that too. So I'm anxious to see how the country club holds up. With the lack of length, you'd wonder if they don't just tear it up. But also in recent memory, yeah, that Marion was 2013 when Justin Rose won at +1 on a shorter golf course. So we'll see. I like to see the a variety of golf where it's not just bomb it down there in the rough, gouge it out on the green, and either two putt or make par. I like to see there be penalty for taking on shots, but also not so penile that you don't get to see him take it on. You know what I mean? Like if you hit it in the rough and you're 200 out. You want it to be rough, but also you want it to talk them into trying a shot and then hitting it somewhere where they shouldn't. And hopefully that's what this venue will give us, really tiny greens, which would make you think guys that, you know, the better iron players should be the ones that have the best chance.
Right.
Do you like the changing courses and seeing different, like this one, for instance? We haven't seen it in 25 years. Do you like that, or are you okay with, hey, I know number one at Augusta has the bunkers on the right and the crazy green. You know, which style do you like the best?
Well, this isn't a knock on Augusta. I mean, Augusta's legendary, and of course, that's where the Masters will and always will be. But I like the switch up with the other ones. For me personally, you get Augusta's never boring, and there's a lot of familiarity there. And we always look forward to that one spot. I mean, imagine if they move the Kentucky Derby somewhere. They move the Kentucky Derby around the state of Kentucky and not just there. So, at Churchill. So, I like it changing up because it adds to the challenge, you know, when the length is long or short and everything you mentioned with the greens and pin placement and everything. And, you know, you think, you know, you got a golfer that maybe won their first major at a Brookline, and then a quarter century later, they're back there, and later in their career, thinking they know the course. Maybe, you know, surely they've played it between then, but you know, there's going to be differences, and you know, you like to see what the differences are. I mean, you see it all over the place. No matter how big or small the golf course is, look at Boiling Springs; it's totally different than the last time I've played there, and that was just a couple years ago. I like the changes. I think it creates a little bit more parity.
Yeah, I'm kind of – the problem is when they change around, sometimes they don't change to a good place. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing about Augusta is, you know, it's always going to be there and that course, mm-hmm. that awesome course. And it feels like the changes they make are always for the better to the golf course, whereas some others – you know, but we'll see.
Change for the sake of just changing. Yeah, change for necessity or for betterment of the game.
I understand the U.S. Open wanting to open up different avenues. I mean, forever they didn't play on a public golf course. Then they went to Torrey, and they've done that twice now, including last year. And so they're, you know, opening it up to a new, you know, different people or different courses that people have a chance to play. And I think that's a cool thing. So one thing about Augusta is you pretty well know you ain't never playing that one, no matter what. Whereas some of these, you know, if you know somebody, heck, you could went up there the last couple of weeks probably and played Southern Hills. And they just, you know, the pros just played a major there. So there's some allure to that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your dream final four pairings. The final four pairings on Sunday afternoon going off from – least favorite to favorite.
So final four players?
No, pairings. Four groups. Is groups help you better?
Okay, so can I go in any order?
No, I want to you can go in any order except for the last one you say has to be your favorite one. Your dream scenario for the final pairing on Sunday.
Okay. You go first.
Okay. Mine has a distinct theme, and it is PGA Tour versus LIV.
All right.
In each of these pairings.
Okay.
I want to see the third from the last, and this also has some intrigue because they hate each other, Bryson and Brooks.
Okay.
I had a hard time leaving John Rahm out of it. Did you see John Rahm yesterday?
No.
When he was asked about the LIV golf and the PGA Tour, oh my gosh. Anybody that's a PGA Tour fan over LIV, go watch it, and you want to run through the wall for John Rahm. It's like the greatest coach's speech of all time. So I had a hard time leaving him off, but the allure to me, I've seen allure a bunch here lately. The idea of Brooks and Bryson in the same group, I like it. The next group would be Jordan Spieth and Fat Pat. Fat Pat announced this week that he's going to play LIV golf. Jordan Spieth has been one of the main guys in support of the PGA Tour. Matter of fact, I'm taking Brooks out. As the more I think about this, the more I think I've got Brooks on the wrong team, because if you watched him yesterday, he's going to play LIV golf. So take Brooks out and put John Rahm in. Rahm and Bryson, then Spieth and Reed. The next to last group, Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. I would love to see that pairing. And then the dream pairing, and this should be the dream pairing for everybody. This should be your number one, and if it's not, you're doing this wrong. Rory and Phil.
Okay, I was looking for someone to partner with
Rory and Phil.
That's so obvious. Go ahead.
Yep, Rory and Phil, last group on Sunday.
That's what I was looking for somebody to put with Phil, and it was so obvious. So I'd go for it. Okay, here's my how fun would it be, at least in the state? And please forgive me if I'm naming golfers that aren't participating. I haven't done a lot of homework on here. I'm really confused about who can and cannot participate.
Everybody can.
Okay.
If you qualified, you're in.
Okay. So for local interests, Hovland and Answer.
I'm sure they're both in the field. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. But for obvious reasons, right? Maybe even substitute Hovland for Gooch. It'd be fun. A little bedlam right there. The Phil Rory one. I had Phil, and I was like, who would I put him with? That makes total sense. Total sense. PGA versus LIV. Total sense. Then for as far as based on golf rankings, Scheffler and Rahm. 1 and 2. That'd be fun on a Sunday. And then Brooks and DeChambeau would be my number one. Just the storylines, it would just break the internet and everyone would watch it. So that's what I'd go. I'm looking at this just for almost pure entertainment value.
I was afraid I had some bad news for you, but I don't. I found him. Honest Abe was down toward the end of the tee times.
Okay. I mean, I looked up participants.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So yeah, I'm seeing all them there. So.
Okay, give me your picks.
I have to be outside. Dark Horse, just to clarify.
Dark Horse is outside the top 25 official world golf rankings.
Top 25. Okay. So, I will go, you want to go top to my?
Number one to number three.
Number one, number three. I think, I like Rory.
Yeah, me too.
I think he gets over it, and he had, obviously last weekend was really good for him. I think that continues. I've always been that guy that just kind of sticks with the guy that's rolling and playing good golf. I like Rory. And now I really like him because how you describe this course. I think that bodes well for him. Number two, seems kind of a wild card-ish, but I'll go with Brooks Koepka.
Okay, here's the stat about Brooks Koepka.
What is the stat about Brooks Koepka?
Over the past four U.S. Opens, he has been beaten by four golfers total.
Oh, wow.
He has beaten 99%, 99.4% of the field over the last four U.S. Opens. Two wins, and then I guess two-thirds or a second and a fourth, whatever it was. But only four golfers have beat him over the last four U.S. Opens. I'm telling you, that's probably a good one, even though he's been playing terrible. Problem is, you could have said the same thing at the Masters and the PGA, and he didn't play very good. But anyway, go ahead.
Number three, Cam Smith. And number four, I've always been a fan of this kid, or my dark horse, excuse me, is Mr. Tommy Fleetwood Mac. I just think
Tommy Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. He seems like a U.S. Open type winner. I've also got Roars, number one. I would have probably had him number one without last week, but then watching him play last week, that man, when he plays good, you can't beat him. He's like Tiger in that way. When he's got his A game, it's over. I've got Will Zalatoris, number two. If you look over his past, eight majors, six top fives, I mean, he's been awesome. He's done things without winning that almost nobody has. I've got Justin Thomas third, ball striker, iron player. And then I have Cam Young. He made a run at the PGA. I've got Cameron Young as my dark horse. Everybody saw it's time to send theirs in, 225-9698. We'll talk about them tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a hard day for me, Jared.
Why is that?
Because the distraction of the U.S. Open being played right in front of my eyes. You know the only good thing about it? Would it make it less distracting?
What's that?
Tiger Woods isn't playing, so you don't have the opportunity for me to be distracted by him.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.